Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, I'm Patrick.
And I'm Jillian.
We've been making the True Crime Obsessed podcast for almost 9 years now.
Yeah, each week on TCO, we tell a riveting true crime story by recapping a documentary about the case.
With nearly 400 million downloads and over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, we can say with confidence that if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now might be the time to give us a try.
We cover the cases everyone is talking about and also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
Find True Crime Obsessed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Hey everybody, I'm Ashley Banfield and this is Drop Dead Serious. I'm telling you, every day something else happens. Another shoe drops. And if I were David, the up-and-coming R&B singer, I'd be shaking in my boots right now. And I'd be hiring a phalanx of lawyers. Things keep developing in this mystery, even though we're not finding out anything official from the LAPD. And hey, I get it. Detectives from the robbery and homicide unit are supposed to stay quiet. They are. That's their job. Shut up. Investigate. Give good stuff to the prosecutor to mount a case. And don't screw up the prosecution, right? So I get it. They don't talk. They shouldn't. But that doesn't mean that the internet and a worldwide phalanx of sleuths isn't working out a lot of details on their own. And maybe, even maybe, helping those detectives find connections, right? You got millions of eyes going over all sorts of Reddit posts, etc. It can only help detectives with a couple of leads. Maybe they're even calling in leads. But let me tell you what happened today, because today was yet another sort of vomiting of developments in the whole David story. Like, we now know a lot more about where he is and where he isn't. That's all coming in a second. But when David, spelled D4VD, went on tour in early August, that dude could not have imagined that he would have so much time on his hands in September. Look, he did plan to end his U.S. tour in his home base of Los Angeles right about now, before setting out for Europe next month to continue the international part of the tour. But David flew home early and he scrapped all of his future dates after Los Angeles, both in the U.S. and overseas. All of that happened after the Los Angeles police spent 12 hours tossing his rented mansion in the Hollywood Hills, reportedly looking for quote-unquote blood evidence that would tie him to the body found in the trunk of his impounded Tesla on September 8th. By the way, that event, finding a decomposing body in the frunk of the Tesla and scooping those decomposed remains out of the frunk of the Tesla, that was not enough to prompt David to come home early. That in itself, not enough. And neither was the identification of that body, which happened several days later. That identification being a missing underage girl with whom the singer appears to have had a close relationship. Close, and from many indications, possibly an illegal relationship. That also was not enough to end the tour and come home early. No. It was the tossing of the damn house. Tossing your mansion can have quite a profound effect on you, especially when your electronics are marched out the door in the hands of detectives. The victim in the trunk, I should say frunk, it is the front trunk on a Tesla, but the victim in that frunk, Celeste Rivas Hernandez, would have turned 15 the day before her remains were discovered, but she clearly died long before that. And she clearly spent that 15th birthday advancing in decomposition in that frunk. In fact, she may have died as far back as early August. Maybe even before the owner of that Tesla left town on a music tour. We don't know. Medical examiner hasn't even determined how Celeste died, let alone when she died. She was that decomposed that this was not an easy case. We do have an idea, though, of how David is and isn't spending some of his free time right now. While the topic of his dismembered girl in his trunk there has the internet on fire. David is still not making any public statements, that's for sure. His team did say last week that he was cooperating with authorities, but David himself has said nothing. Nothing about the girl, nothing about the car, nothing about the raid on his home. And now the LA Times is reporting that he has lawyered up. So whether he is still cooperating this week, not entirely clear. He does, however, appear to be moving, as in packing up and moving out. Because according to the landlord of that raided house, David and his manager abruptly broke the lease that the manager signed back in February of last year. I want you to remember that date, February 2024, because that date is going to come up again in a hot minute, and then it'll come up again. The landlord says, and I quote, they, meaning the singer and the manager, didn't want to be there anymore because of the ongoing circumstances. There's no word on whether the detectives found what they came for, the blood and or DNA evidence that they were reportedly coming to seek. But they did leave with several items, including a laptop. And about this house, I don't know if you know about the Hollywood Hills. There are some mansions in the Hollywood Hills. And they're some of them really, really private, extraordinary. Some of them are kind of run down, but man, that is just a hodgepodge of awesome and party and noise and family. Big mix. But this particular house where David was renting, $20,000 a month, right? It was Halle Berry's house. It's pretty crazy. It once belonged to Halle Berry. It's said to be worth just north of $4 million. So this was some house. And again, he was paying $20,000 a month in rent beginning in February of 2024, which coincidentally is when Celeste Rivas Hernandez went missing, ran away from her home, her family home in Lake Elsinore, 70 miles away, for the first time. That's when she bolted from her home the first time. Celeste reportedly ran away several times and was reported missing for the very last time in April of last year, 2024, when she was just 13. So Celeste is 13. She goes on the run. David would have been 19. Today he's 20. And if you're wondering where this 20-year-old up-and-coming singer has been all this time while this story goes from bad to worse around him, we may have found the answer. He's reportedly been weathering the maelstrom by spending his time playing video games online. And we know that because fans of David say that they've seen a username associated with the singer popping up in the games Fortnite and Roblox. And they say this happened as recently as Saturday. That would be the 20th of September. There's also been a heck of a lot of action on the David subreddit. Whew! Jesus, that thing is alive. Online sleuths noticed that the singer himself was apparently the only moderator on that thread and was deleting posts that criticized him. Hours after that was pointed out, David left the subreddit, leaving it locked to any new posts. Most of the recent posts centered on his apparent relationship with Celeste and theories about her death, along with photos and videos that appear to show Celeste and David together, and numerous comments indicating that they were dating. TMZ has led the reporting on this mystery from day one, and earlier on my News Nation show, Banfield, I caught up with TMZ's executive producer, Charles Ledebaudière, to ask him why it took Celeste's death to bring all these other allegations to light.
It's not like it was unknown where this missing runaway was. How did it go unchecked? How did no one knock on the David's door that she went to the movie with and say, she's 13, just turned. Her parents want her back and you need to come in for questioning.
Yeah, and especially because we know that she had gone missing, runaway earlier in 2024 And the police did go and find her that time and bring her back to her family in Lake Elsinore. So when it happened the second time, why didn't the police go? Why didn't family members go?
So it was the police who brought her back the first time.
That is now that is according to the teacher who was telling the whole class about this.
It's just
what
his
he
account.
Had heard.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're not sure exactly whether the police actually, because if they did, my God, Charles, if they'd been involved once, why on earth would they not be involved the second
why
time?
Why wouldn't they? And even, you know, that comment that we were just talking about that was made in February of this year, you know, we're trying to find out. And again, police are being very tight lipped and not responding, but we want to find out. Did someone make a report in February? Was that person saying it just sort of like in general, I know this isn't someone who's 13 and that you're messing with? Or are they saying that because they actually called police and reported this and said, look, there's this singer who's 18 and hanging out with my friend or relative who's 13. It just seems odd that the police weren't involved or that family members didn't. It's possible they didn't know where David was living at that point.
Hey, I'm Patrick.
And I'm Jillian.
We've been making the True Crime Obsessed podcast for almost 9 years now.
Yeah, each week on TCO, we tell a riveting true crime story by recapping a documentary about the case.
With nearly 400 million downloads and over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, we can say with confidence that if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now might be the time to give us a try.
We cover the cases everyone is talking about and also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
Find True Crime Obsessed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
It's just astounding to think that, you know, in 2022, when chat group suggested is Celeste in here, yeah, you bet, David, like she'd have been just 12. She'd have been fresh out of being 11 years old when the contact may have first been made. If you do the math, he might have been 17 at that point. At the point where they're meeting up, she's 13, he's 18. There's no Romeo and Juliet law that would protect you there.
Nope.
And then at 19, and she's 14, it's still not good. And then he's now 20. So they may have, I'm not sure when his birthday is, but they may have been 20 and 14 years old if they were together romantically. And again, ain't no law nowhere, no how, unless your parents are signing off on it, that says that's legal.
Yeah, and it's very clear that her mother was not signing off on this, just from our conversations with her. There are so many questions here about what this relation, the nature of this relationship was, and clearly how long it was going on.
I also spoke with former senior deputy DA in Orange County, California, Matt Murphy. He has successfully prosecuted dozens of murder cases there in California. He's also the author of the book called The Book of Murder, A Prosecutor's Journey Through Love and Death. Here's my conversation with Matt about the David case.
I am surprised there hasn't been an arrest yet, and I wanted to know if you are.
Well, they're taking their time, Ashley, which is exactly what they should be doing. And there's a lot to untangle here. And it's important to remember, he's presumed innocent, right? And we know, based on past history, there are juries in LA that will entertain absolutely insane defense theories. And so they're crossing their T's and dotting their I's, and they're being methodical, which is exactly what they should be doing. And I anticipate it's going to be a little while. Okay, so there are a multitude of potential crimes, as you just hit on. Number one, a 13-year-old there's a line under California law for any sexual contact. And again, it's speculative at this point. We don't know. The information hasn't come out. But there's a big line between 13 and 14. 13 is 288A of the California Penal Code, which is essentially any lewd contact with a minor, 13 or under. So that's a big deal. 14 also, it's 288C. So depending on just the nature of the relationship itself, before we even get to the homicide, he's being investigated right now. And apparently they went in there. Some of the things that were seen coming out of that house were things like computers and tablets. And that's exactly what they should be looking for. And right now, probably as we speak, there is some overworked, underpaid forensic technologist who's going through cell phones and computers and looking for any evidence of that relationship. Another thing that's interesting here is, you know, we've talked about this before, Ashley. There's we have the information that's come out from the LAPD, which has been minimal, right? It's been, and it should be minimal right now. They have to be very careful about the information they release. But this is a murder in the, or potentially a murder in the modern era. And the reason I say potentially, we don't have a cause of death yet. And I've had cases where we thought somebody was murdered and it turned out later it was an OD. We had one once where the person committed suicide, it turned out. So we don't know yet. Now, she was dismembered, certainly didn't do that to herself, but we don't know from the coroner's office yet exactly if they have a cause of death, what it was. We don't know. And I'm going to suspect dismembered, heavily decomposed body like that, it's going to be tough to tell. There are certain telltale signs depending on what was in there, what they actually recovered. But at this point, we don't know. But the really interesting part about this to me is the online sleuthing, and that there can be a lot of bad that goes along with that. But, you know, some of this is really interesting here. You wrote a song called Romantic Homicide. Now, that was long before she was killed. Or died, but it's this is the online part is really interesting. All these videos that keep popping up where it shows this young woman that looks like her.
It is, and I got to be honest with you. I have so many questions for you, like millions, literally. I wanted to ask you a second ago about the lewd behavior or the lewd connection to a teenager who's 13 or 14, and I just want to get this on the record real quickly. Does that mean online behavior, or does that mean physical behavior?
That's a really good question. There are circumstances where online behavior alone between a 13 or under child and an adult can constitute a completed child molest. In other words, if they're sexting or somebody is directing a child to perform certain acts online, I've prosecuted those before where that counts as a completed child molest, even if they haven't met, and even if there's no physical contact.
Interesting, because the those tablets and those electronics and the forensic person you said is woefully underpaid. Hopefully, we'll be able to determine if that is an issue in this particular case, because there's a lot of speculation about it. And to that speculation, Matt, it is like you've seen the documentary "Don't F with Cats," where literally the online community solves a serial killer's crime. And in this particular case, there are so many theories that people are positing about what might have happened to Celeste. Maybe she was pregnant and it wasn't news that was well accepted. Maybe she OD'd. Maybe it's someone in the entourage. All these different theories. My question to you, as someone who's in the business of solving these crimes and prosecuting them, are the police doing the same thing that the online community is doing, running down all of these different theories?
Yes. Yes. And these are good cops at LAPD. They were woefully underserved by the previous district attorney of LA County. And also, keep in mind, the LAPD is operating under woeful budget cuts by the city of Los Angeles. But I think in this one, given the high profile nature, they're devoting the resources and they're doing it right. And the detectives, I've worked with this unit before, and these are hard hitting, no nonsense women and men at the LAPD who know what they're doing. So they're doing all of that stuff. They're going through the computers. They have forensically worked up that house, probably top to bottom. They're looking for her DNA. They're looking on any instruments that may have been used to dismember her. I've already seen some of the conspiracy theories come out. And one of the questions I saw is, who would be stupid enough to put the dead body in the trunk of their own car? And the answer to that is most murderers. Most people, especially when they kill for the first time, make a million mistakes. And this would be a really bad one. Another thing that's interesting is that I'm personally curious about, if the car was parked, and it was apparently 1 minute away from the home there that we're seeing, it was not taken far away. We heard about all these vandalism cases against Teslas in the recent news. With all the cameras that are on Teslas, I'm very curious to see if there's an actual video on the data recorder of that car that shows who the driver was. That's something that's going to be interesting. But I think that what's happening, in addition to the forensic stuff right now, is they are doing gumshoe police work and they are interviewing every single person they can find that was in his orbit, that knew about their relationship, what the circumstances were, if any. And it certainly sounds, there's a lot of circumstantial evidence right now indicating that there had been some sort of close relationship between them, perhaps romantic. It certainly looks that way. But right now, again, the LAPD is putting it together, and we're going to see these, a lot of these pieces probably fit together here pretty soon.
I have 20 seconds, but I've got to get you on the record here. If they can't come up with a cause of death, is that brutal for this case?
No, you can still prosecute. If you can certainly prosecute. I mean, I did 5 no body cases where we had no exact cause of death either. So you can certainly do it. But it does throw a wrinkle in there. If you've just got a decomposed, torso, or depending on what's available, what I would be asking if I was them is the hyoid bone. That's a bone in the neck that's consistent with strangulation. That's something that doesn't go away with decomposition. I'm sure they're looking at that. If it's true that her head was recovered, they can find what's called petechial hemorrhaging in her eyes, indicating strangulation. Bones will leave marks concerning stabbing. So the forensic pathology here is going to be very interesting. And again, the coroners in LA County are the real deal. They know what they're doing. So we'll have to see.
And let's hope, let's hope that they do all the toxicology tests that might indicate whether it's a drug overdose as well, because like you said before, that is entirely possible.
So the big question now is, what exactly is happening in David's world? And is there a defense team guiding his every move? Because while no charges of any kind have been filed against anybody, I would, for one, love to be a fly on the wall when David did or does sit down with his attorneys. Was it their idea to cancel the rest of his world tour? Did they advise him to stay completely silent about the predicament that he's in when it comes to the public? To help me break this all down, I turn to one of the sharpest legal minds I know. Sarah Azari joined me on my News Nation show, Banfield. She's a criminal defense attorney, a News Nation legal analyst, and she's the host of News Nation's YouTube show, Serving Justice. Here's our conversation.
What are his lawyers telling him, Sarah, right now?
Ashley, I think at this point, it's more about gathering information from the client. I know that some of his devices were taken. You just had a conversation with Matt Murphy. And I would want to know what's on there. What could possibly the LAPD be investigating? Because, as you know, at this early stage, there's no discovery. The LAPD doesn't give us much information. And I think Matt gave LAPD and the coroner's office way too much credit than is due. I've worked with the LAPD for 25 years, and I can tell you there's a lot of flaws in some of these investigations, for good or bad, and even the coroner's office. I've had them do autopsies on the wrong body, give me reports for the wrong body, So hopefully this is being done properly, but I wouldn't bank on it.
Hey, I'm Patrick.
And I'm Jillian.
We've been making the True Crime Obsessed podcast for almost 9 years now.
Yeah, each week on TCO, we tell a riveting true crime story by recapping a documentary about the case.
With nearly 400 million downloads and over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, we can say with confidence that if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now might be the time to give us a try.
We cover the cases everyone is talking about and also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
Find True Crime Obsessed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Let me ask you to put on your defense hat, and you're retained as one of David's attorneys. Are you advising him to cooperate with the police? Are you advising him to stop all meetings and communications altogether? What do you say?
Well, it's interesting because we've heard that he's cooperating with LAPD. I don't exactly know what that means. Cooperating through his lawyers? That's one thing. But I certainly would not have him sit there with case detectives and answer questions. Even though we don't know the evidence or the extent of the evidence, he certainly carries some exposure here. He's not a suspect, but he's being looked at. He's a person of interest. So my concern would be, there's no good that's going to come out of putting my client, in front of the LAPD to answer their questions, fill in the blanks. So I don't know what cooperation means. Is it that the lawyers are speaking to detectives? I certainly would keep it minimal. And you brought up another good point, Ashley, about not saying anything in media. When you have a celebrity client, you are defending them in the court of public opinion, because the minute their name comes up in a situation like this, their career is pretty much over, whether or not they're eventually charged. You're also defending the charges, obviously, legally. But here my concern is the defendant should not be saying anything. The potential defendant should not be saying a word. So as much as we want to hear from a higher profile person, at least denying having anything to do with this, there's also the concern of, what they might say that could be used against them. I think if there's a statement made, it should come from his lawyers, and it should be very generic.
Yeah, because honestly, what else is playing all over the news and all over the internet? What we're talking about, and it isn't good. It sounds terrible. All of the speculation, everybody who's trying to solve the crime, theorize what happened to Celeste. Was she pregnant? Was it an overdose? Was it a murder? Was it an accident? All these things are just being, you know, batted about like, you know, Pong in the 80s. So if you're also advising him at this point, and there is the real concern that there is a wrongful death, maybe even a murder, certainly a dismemberment, and an indignation offered to human corpse. There's all sorts of wording for those charges.
Right.
Are you focusing on that right away, or are you simultaneously and equally as aggressively focusing on, you got some problems because this girl was maybe 11 when you met? How are you preparing this client for the reality that that is what could be the worst thing he's facing?
You know, I mean, preparing the client is client management, and we do that from the get-go. But the idea of trying to formulate a defense or trying to figure out what charges might be if and when they come is very difficult at this stage. Hopefully, the client's being honest, you know, and telling his lawyers what part he's had, what kind of relationship he's had. But ultimately, how we defend the case depends on what the evidence is, obviously what the charges are. But, you know, do they have digital evidence? Do they have a bunch of snitches flipping? Do they have, you know, videos, like Matt said, showing a sexual relationship or something that shows more than just, you know, a odd connection between an older teen and a younger teen? It really depends on what the evidence is. So I think it's very early. And as much as it's so challenging with a high-profile client, because you're going to have to do damage control and brand damage control and all of that, the main problem here, the main concern should be his liberty, which is the criminal exposure that he carries.
Yeah, that's big, right? Because who cares about your brand if you're stuck in prison? You can just ask Diddy about that, right? So clearly, David's got some work cut out for him. And you know, that's the legal side. He has the PR side that he's got to deal with too. And that is a whole other kettle of fish, right? Because let's just say this guy's innocent, he's never charged. What the hell does he do now with his reputation and with his career? That seems like it's in the toilet with a label that wants nothing to do with him. What does he do? You need a team for that. What if he is under suspicion for a very long time? Then what? How long can he withstand the drubbing that he's getting online and elsewhere? I mean, it is on fire. The story is on fire. The internet is on fire. The Reddits are on fire. The chat groups are on fire. Cable news is on fire. It's because there's so much unknown. And so that just leads to a hurricane of speculation, right? It's actually a tornado. So then what? What does he do? What does he do in that time where everything is unknown and his brand is bleeding out? What does he do? You need a team for that. What does he do if he's actually charged, right? Then he's got a couple of years likely before trial. All the while, the wording that is used is charged with XXX, sex crimes, murder, you name it, if these are the charges, right? I'm not saying he is. He's innocent right now. He is not guilty of anything. But if he is charged, oh my God, the team goes into overdrive. Because how do you withstand that? And if you're guilty, you probably don't withstand it. Because what's the point of having the brand if you're locked up behind bars for life? And let me tell you this. We may forget and think, oh, we're going to get the answer soon. Maybe there'll be an arrest soon. I really, truly did think there'd be an arrest over the weekend. But there is no statute of limitations on murder. None. So if you think you get away with murder, you always look over your shoulder. You can never escape it. There's never a time when you think, whew, skated off that one. So if he's guilty of something like this, he will never sleep a moment of peace, right? He will never, ever experience the ease of conscience because there will always be this elephant on his back and there will always be detectives chasing him. If he didn't do it, he may still suffer the wrath of people chasing him. The internet may chase him, the trolls may chase him, and he's going to need some kind of help to to figure out what comes next. Will he ever have a career again, regardless of what happens? Ask Diddy. Hey, listen, thank you so much for being here. Gosh, I love having you guys together with me in this community. It's a real treat, honestly. Otherwise, I'd just be sitting here talking to myself. So I appreciate you all so much. Thank you if you're listening. Thank you if you're watching. And if you remember one thing, it's that the truth isn't just serious. It's drop dead serious.
I'm Patrick.
And I'm Jillian.
We've been making the True Crime Obsessed podcast for almost 9 years now.
Yeah, each week on TCO, we tell a riveting true crime story by recapping a documentary about the case.
With nearly 400 million downloads and over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, we can say with confidence that if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now might be the time to give us a try.
We cover the cases everyone is talking about and also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
Find True Crime Obsessed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.